We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat this morning. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Jason Monk. We got a double blessing with the Jasons this week, y'all. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm excellent.
I appreciate you stepping in all of a sudden.
You bet.
On short notice. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also put it in the comments, and you can send it in a private message to our Facebook. We'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're tuned in this morning. I think I covered it all. Did I cover it all, Miss Tina? Okay. Would you pray to start us out, sir?
You bet. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your words that are being brought forth today, Father. Father, we just ask that they would fall on good soil in the ears and the hearts of people that would hear this message today, whether it be with us on the live show or whether they watch this later on, Father. Your word is timeless. So I just thank you for the words that you have to speak today. And we thank you again, Father, that they will produce good fruit in those lives that would hear your message today, Father. May it bring encouragement and build up and equip the body of Christ in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I like your title. It's all about love.
It's all about love.
Amen.
So this is a work in progress still. It was funny. I was in church Sunday night, and I was over at the Refuge with Tammy, and she was preaching, and God was giving me all this stuff too, so I'm over here taking notes, trying to pay attention to her too. And I'm like, he was giving me something to build. So this is still something we're building on, but we were kind of like we said, short on time on this notice. So I thought, well, I've got a few things. Let's talk about it. You know, I'm just kind of talk about what God's been showing me and talking to me about, and love. You know, when you get into the New Testament, right, and you see what Jesus was bringing, the message that Jesus was bringing, and above all, what he modeled in his life to me was that itself, mm-hmm. love. But then I was thinking about that in the world, like how many other phrases do we have, like tough love, all of these things that we say, and it's like actually anything that we tag on front of love and then say love, what I've noticed, it's actually the opposite usually of what the truth of what love really is. You know, and so what that does is it's actually, it gives us these mindsets that aren't true to the gospel, but rather to circumstances or the way that seems right to a man, you know, right? And one of the things, you know, just thinking personally in our lives, my wife is one of those people who's the black and white type person. So, like, it's just sometimes, you know, and she would even use that word often, like, tough love, sometimes you just got to show them tough love. And what's crazy, I love this, how God always does that too. I'm exactly the opposite of that. You know, I'm like, just keep on loving them. And so when God brings those two people together, it's for a purpose because both of them need to grow, you know, and God will bring them together in that way. And so we had a friend of ours, you know, and just kind of walking out circumstance in life and something that she was going through and just trying to love on her. And after that situation, we kind of got through that situation, the hard part, I guess I should say, of that situation. My wife come back to me that day and she said, you know, I don't know that I believe in tough love anymore. Mm. And I was like, you're coming over to my side, aren't you? But it's just cool to see how, you know, God, through love, like love is the most powerful force mm-hmm. on anywhere. I wouldn't even say the planet, because it's the most powerful force that exists. Why? Because God himself is it. So, therefore, he's the most powerful force that exists out there, being God himself, is what? He's love. Mm-hmm. That's what he is. And, you know, the way I always say this is, love is the only thing, the only force that will ever bring positive change, period. If you try to use anything else in that way, it always comes from a place of control or manipulation, or, you know, what can I get out of this, or whatever else. Any other thing can always take you in those directions, but love, true love, never will, right? And again, there's all this verbiage out there in the world that we can use for the word love, even the way they say it, like, I love you, but yet love is more in an action instead of what I would speak out of my mouth. I can say I love you, but it's how I live my life that truly proves that, right? So in simplicity, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and let's see what love is. And this is something, again, this is probably a scripture you've heard 1,000 times or maybe even know off the top of your head, but let this sink down into your heart. Let it literally become a reflection of your in your life for people. So in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 is where we'll start. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, not boastful, not proud, not rude. It does not demand its own way. And here's the kicker. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures, I love this, and endures through every, capital E-V-E-R-Y, every circumstance, right? Like that, you could spend hours right there in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, just looking at what love is and applying that into your life. Because, I mean, when I read through these things, the things that I can look at is, I can look at my relationships, I can look at circumstances, I can look at things that I'm going through with people in relationship. Like, everything that my life experiences, love can always be applied to, right? And, you know, and you hear people talk about these things, some of the things it talks about here. Well, I just want to be more kind, or I want more patience in my life, you know, and it's like, or I just don't want to get... I don't want to get mad. I don't want to respond in anger so much. And it's like, do you realize that all of these things, they literally go back to just being love, walking in love? Because what is love? It's patience. It's kindness, right? It doesn't become jealous of somebody. If God is doing something in their life that's totally amazing, it actually brings you to a place to rejoice with them and for them, instead of being jealous of, oh, well, what are you doing for me? I see what you're doing for them, you know. Like, that's not love. When you're walking in love, you celebrate with people, right? Not become covetous or jealous of them. You celebrate with them. And it even uses the word, you know, this is a word that would make sense in common day language. Rude. Don't be rude, you know. And there's some of the things, that's one of the things that God has really been toiling over me over the last couple years, really. What I say is so important. What I let, and I say let, but what, you know, some people say that, well, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did. You know, let's start being truthful. Yeah, you did. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is down inside of there is what's going to come out of there. And that's a lie. Just call it what it is. It's a lie to say, I didn't mean to say that. You did mean to say that. You chose that. So take accountability for that and say, I'm going to choose to say the things that only are building up and uplifting and loving, right? And that will never be rude to somebody, even when they're being rude to you. And take that a little bit further into, like, coarse joking. And, you know, I'm that guy. I used to tell people I have a college degree in sarcasm, you know, because it was just, it's funny to us, but is it funny? You know, and that was something that God just really, you know, this is at a personal level with me, that God was really working on me with, because I always had one of those witty comments. You know, I was very quick in sarcasm and those things. And, you know, I heard a definition of one guy said, you know what makes sarcasm so funny is there's always a little truth in there, you know. And I thought, so what you're actually doing is you're taking that little bit of truth and you're saying, yeah. and you're jabbing somebody with it. But we wrap it in humor so everybody kind of giggles. But you know who isn't giggling? That person. You know, everybody else might be giggling because it was a funny moment. But, I mean, God has really woken me up to that, to make sure that I'm saying the things that he would be saying. You know, we see that through the life of Jesus. That's what he said. I don't say anything that my father didn't say. And, like, there's an accountability that we need to walk in our life as well to understand. And again, how do you do that? If you want to change those things that are coming out, Paul talks about this. It's not about this great self-discipline that you walk in. I'm going to stop doing that. It ain't about that either. Mm-hmm. It's about love, right? It's about truly getting those things inside of my heart that then it will come out of my mouth. And if that is love, guess what? It'll be patient and kind and won't be jealous. It won't be rude to people. It'll actually celebrate and encourage and build up. Like, that's who God is. And to me, that in simplicity of the gospel, that's one of the things that I probably see more than anything is we see it's not about us walking in love. It's literally you becoming it. It's becoming love. Like, that's exactly what God is. And when God puts his spirit inside of you, then it brings a transformation of your life. And we're instructed through the word to go in and renew the ways that the mind thinks. Right. Why? Because it needs to transform itself into what? To something different than what was. We go through the word, go back to Genesis when what happened. Literally, we were created in the image of God. Right. And in that moment, we had the attributes of God. Everything that he was, we were created in his image in that way. But then when sin entered in, when the serpent came in, guess what? The exact same thing happened. We then gave our identities over to the serpent. We became like he was. And that's where the sinful nature entered into our lives, right? And as we see throughout the course of history now, everyone that is born with what? That sinful nature inside them. And then continuing on to the truth of the word, what do we see? Colossians 2. Well, when you accept Christ, when you say yes to Jesus, he comes in, and not by physical procedure, but by spiritual procedure, circumcises out that sinful nature. So the way I like to see that is, in the beginning, like, what was, that was on the outside of us, right? The sinful nature was on the outside of who we were. God was who on the inside of who we were. But in that place, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, then what was outside came inside, right? The sinful nature then became inside. So everyone birthed from that point forward was born with that inside them. But then when Jesus showed up, why? It was to get that back out of them. He had to take what had invaded his space, his creation. He had to take that out through a physical or supernatural circumcision. He had to take that out of us. And then guess what? He put himself back inside of us. And I've even thought about that, you know, and this is kind of going off and pondering rabbit trails in my mind. You know, it says that God had slain the lamb before the foundations of the world. He already knew Jesus was going to come before he even created Adam and Eve. And I know that don't make sense to our mind. But again, it was like there was already a plan and a purpose for God to literally put himself inside of us. And that could only come through Jesus. And that was already in mind with God before Adam and Eve even took a bite of the apple. And, you know, to me, that just, it blows my mind to think, gosh, like, God truly does love us, his creation, in a way that is outside of my understanding. You know, like, it's huge. But he has made a way where he can literally put that inside of my life, and I can become what, just as he is. I can love people in a way that God loves people. Because it is now empowered, it comes from the Holy Spirit inside of me, not by me conjuring up through my self-discipline and, you know, I've been working on this for 20 years, and I'm finally getting better at loving people. No, it's not about that. It's about just letting the Holy Spirit do his work, listening to his voice. Because everything that he does, understand this, everything that he tells you will always lead to love, right? It will always lead to love. And rabbit trail right here, some people have this question of, I don't know God's voice, or I don't know if that is God's voice. Let me tell you this. One of the most things that you can, that one of the greatest barometers, as I call them, that you can apply to your life in, is this God? Is it love? Is it loving? Is this coming from a place of love? Because if it is, that's probably God's voice that you're hearing. But if it is not coming from a place of love, if it's not from what we see as the definition here, if it is not patient and kind and long-suffering and not holding record of wrong and not being rude, it's not being quick to anger, if it is not any of those things, guess what? that's probably God's voice. You're hearing God's voice. You just haven't honed that in yet, right? Because I know there's a process that we all go through to learning that, you know. And for me, it was like seeing the truth of the word. What does it say? It says, my sheep know me, and they hear my voice. So even when I didn't, you know what I prayed? Father, your word says, I'm a sheep because I've accepted you, and your sheep hear your voice. So, Father, I thank you that I hear your voice. And then what would I do? Again, when we read the word, what does it do? It gives us those things to say. When I hear a voice, okay, is that the truth of what this is saying? Yes, okay, then that's God. So I'm going to pursue this, and I'm going to continue in it. And I just love how God, he actually takes what something that was messed up and tainted and then turns it into something that is completely amazing and becomes actually love itself, you know. And that's a way, if you claim to be Christian, if you say I am a Christ-like one, you cannot be opposite of these things right here, because that's who you are. That's who God made you to be. So again, you're not just walking in love, you are becoming love itself and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that out in your life. All right, we're gonna go from here to Matthew 22:35-40. What was it? 22. And we're going to go down to 35 and read through 40. Actually, I'll just start at 34 because that's kind of a little cutoff in this translation. I read from the NLT, so if it sounds different than yours, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So he says here, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. He said, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" So understand, when he's asking this question, he's asking, what's the most important commandment of the law, right? And this is the Old Testament covenant. Jesus' reply was, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And a lot of people, they'll actually wrap these in together. And I was guilty of this myself. When I would think about the scripture, I would say, well, what are the greatest two commandments? Love God, love people. And it was like, what I love about what's going on here is God is marrying this old covenant and the new covenant that he is now introducing, right? Because we have to understand, this is the transition period. And that's why the people had so much problem with it. That's why the religious leaders had such a problem with it, is because they were coming from something that was, and God was bringing something new, right? And so how did he do that? Through his son Jesus. That's how the new covenant was ushered in. But in this time, they actually had him in the flesh and him speaking those truths of the word of God to them. So he says, love the Lord your God first. That's the greatest commandment. And they knew that, right? They knew that according to the Old Testament. But then he goes on to say, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So a second is equally important, but guess what? That's the new commandment, right? That's what he's telling. You guys have understood how to love God up until this point, and you have lived your lives in that way. But as we see, as he calls them out multiple times throughout the New Testament in his journey, like, they were making their love of God the most important thing, but the people that were around them, not so much, right? As a matter of fact, they began to point fingers a lot. It was always in judgment. Judgment's not love. Judgment's pointing out the things that are wrong with people, right? And you know, and I'll touch on that just for a second. You know, I hear, especially people who are not of the Christian faith, they'll use the scripture because they know it in the Bible, or they think they know it. They says, judge, don't, your Bible even says, don't judge me. That's what it says.
Yeah.
That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. So what does that mean? If I pass judgment, I am going to receive the very same thing, right? So if I'm calling something out in your life, get ready, son, because it's about to get called out in my life. It's not saying don't do that. It's just saying you better prep your heart, because when this is, if you want to judge people, guess what? You're going to get it back. And that's not our place. You know, and one of those places, you know, for me is that's vengeance. That's what vengeance is. When we're looking at judgment to people, it's because we want vengeance in their heart. And that's why God is very clear about that. Vengeance is His. It's not our oath. So what does that look like? It will keep me in a place of humility where I don't cast judgment on people. Not just because, oh, I don't want that coming back to my life, but because it's not my place, right? It's not my place to cast judgment on you, but what do I see according to the word? My place is to love you. And that truly allows and cultivates an environment for the Holy Spirit to invade someone's heart. That is there something that needs to be judged in their life? Maybe so. But it is it my place to bring that? No, it's not. But it is my place to bring love to them so that God can bring judgment to their heart. And then what's going to happen? I mean, you know, that to me is the picture of the Holy Spirit. Like, the Word says that He sent His Holy Spirit to judge the world. And we've talked about this on the show. The world of its sin, right? Because if the world doesn't know they're sinners, they're messed up, and then they can't find salvation. The world has to know they're a sinner. And the Holy Spirit will convict. That's the word that's used there. He will convict them. That means you're guilty. And they feel, I'm guilty. But you know what? They felt guilty long before Holy Spirit showed up. They lived their entire lives feeling guilty. Why do you think that they're miserable, they're depressed, they're angry, they're all of those things? Because they feel guilty about all the things that they do. Now, if you ask them that, they won't say yes. But look at the fruit of their life. The Word tells us that too. You judge a tree by what? Its fruit, right? So it doesn't matter even if they don't, if their mind doesn't understand that. Look at the fruit on the tree and you can see that. And in that place, when we just love on those people, guess what? It allows the Holy Spirit to come in and do it in a way that they don't feel on, but they feel, ooh, and I want to move my heart. And then guess what? You're loving them, so you're actually showing them the way out of that place in their life. And then what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in, when they accept Jesus, then in that place, He just becomes the encourager. So when we do mess up, He says, that's not for you. There's a better thing. Come on. You know, not, hey, you messed it up again. You know, and like, I know that's been taught. What I grew up in was that right there. Like, I was always afraid of the big stick that was going to knock my bald head. I wasn't bald back then, but that's what I was always afraid of. When I messed up, I was going to get whacked, you know? And even looking at that, like, and I'm not condemning my parents in this way, but that's how they treated me in some ways. When I messed up, I just got whacked, you know, instead of just instructed on in some places. You know, and I get it. We all learn as we grow, and I've been that parent too. First, you just want to whack instead of saying, you know what? If I would just instruct them to a truth, then it gives them the tools to do better, you know? And I'm not saying there's not time for a good old pssst on the hat tail end when you deliberately and after you know better. But, you know, in those times, I mean, God's even showed me that in parenting my kids. And what it is all fall back to? Love. It all falls back to love. And, you know, with my kids now even, you know, I used to go in there and I'd say, you knew better than that. But now what I do is I'll go in there and I'll pull up the Word. I pull up God's Word and I'll say, what does this say right here? You know, if they're being disrespectful, if they're talking ugly to me, and all of those things, I'll just go show them the Word. It says, what does it say? It says, honor your father and your mother. And I'll say, who's saying that? Yeah, not me. It's not me saying that. It's God saying that. And also, I want you to read the second part of that. Because a lot of times people will twist that and say, well, you're using the Word to manipulate your child. No, I'm not. I'm instructing my child in the ways of God. Because there's a promise that God Himself gives after that too. It says, if you do this, I will satisfy you with long life, right? And it's like, that's the first commandment that God gives in that way. It's like, if you obey, if you honor your father and your mother, then I'm going to give you back life. And it's like, that's instruction. So then what does my child do in that place next time when he wants to, give me some of that? He remembers the Word. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in him. My children know Christ. So the Holy Spirit's in now to instruct and say, remember, right? And he becomes their instructor. And it's like, it actually helps me as the parent, you know?
Go on.
Like God Himself becomes the one that's training them up. And I wish I would have got this at my first child, but I didn't. You know, I wish I would have got this at my second child, but I didn't. But as we've continued on, and I've given my life to the Word of God, And literally just let it come inside of me. As he says, that He writes it on the tablet of our hearts, right? He writes it on the inside, and it becomes our instruction and our guide. And that's how we should take it to our children too. Let it become their instruction and our guide. Not trying to force them or push them into anything, but rather let the Holy Spirit like co-parent with you. You know, yes, we're their parents in the physical. They're still His first, right? We are actually the co-parent in the situation. They're His. And it's been so cool to see the fruit in my kids' lives. How, you know, because there was times in my life where you beat the thunder at them over and over and over, and it doesn't change the behavior, you know, because they're just, some of them are just that strong-headed, like, I want to do what I want to do. But when you incorporate the Holy Spirit, which is what, love, into that situation, it becomes something outside of the natural things, right? And I think that's one of the coolest things that I've seen with my kiddos, just to seeing them. And what I see, the fruit of their lives, is if they just begin to walk and they make decisions that are Christ-like. Not because I'm forcing a religion on them, right? But because I'm just giving the instruction of God's word, and it's cultivating what love inside of them. And then they function from that. And we get all the things that love is, that's what you're going to see functioning in their life. Take a break.
In my Bible right here, above Matthew 22:37, where it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. I have what to do. That tells me what I need to do.
Right.
And then the next part, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I have on the first part what to do, and then above the other part, I put how to do it. And the same thing over here for the second one, love your neighbor, what to do.
Right.
How to do it. What to do and how to do it.
Right.
And that was a learning experience.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning.
Right.
I'm still learning that.
Right.
And the Lord has really, for me, I was a very angry person. And whenever